message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today I begin my six-part Sunday Lenten sermon series entitled Psalms of the Savior. Now, during these six sermons, we will examine six different psalms, and we will see how they point us to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So let's get into it. The first two verses of Psalm 1 read, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Now, this psalm teaches us that there are really only two kinds of people in this world. One, those who trust in God and delight in His Word. And two, those who trust themselves and hate God's Word. So on the one hand, you have those who trust God and delight in His Word. On the other hand, you have those who trust themselves and hate God's Word. So the question is, which kind of person are you? Before you answer that question, let's examine this psalm a bit more closely. First, what does God say about the one who trusts in Him? Psalm 1 verse 3 reads, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Well, isn't that awesome? God says that the one who trusts in Him and delights in His Word is like a tree that is nurtured, and therefore it flourishes. In fact, whatever this person does, he will prosper. His work will be successful. In contrast, listen to what God says about those who trust themselves. He says, "Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away." What a horrible picture that is. God says that those who trust themselves and hate His Word are like chaff. You know, that stuff that's left over after grain is harvested. It's dead plant material. The wind blows it away. It has no future. Such is the destiny of those who do not trust God. In fact, this psalm ends by speaking about the future destiny of believers and unbelievers. Listen. "Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Did you hear that? This life is not the end. One day we must all stand before God, but there will be two different groups. "The wicked will not stand among the righteous," it says. But even worse than that, the wicked will not be able to stand before God, because He will say to them, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire for the devil and his angels." Or as the psalm says, "The way of the wicked will perish." But the righteous, they have a different destiny. The psalm says, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous." So the righteous will be able to stand before God, and they will not perish. Instead, God will say to them, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Now, once again, this psalm teaches us that there are only two kinds of people in this world. Those who trust in God and delight in His Word, and those who trust themselves and hate God's Word. So the question is, which kind of person are you? Before you answer that question, there's something else that you need to notice about Psalm 1. Did you catch it? The wicked are always spoken of in the plural. it are multitudes, they are many. However, in the first three verses of Psalm 1, we're told about one person in the singular. The psalm says, blessed is the man. The psalm says that his delight is in the law of the Lord. The psalm says that he is like a tree planted by streams of water. The psalm says whatever he does prospers. Why this focus on just one righteous man in the first three verses of the psalm? Here's the answer. This psalm is about the Savior. This psalm is about Christ. In preparation for this sermon, I was reading Martin Luther's commentary on Psalm 1. Listen to what he says. From all this, it becomes clear that if this psalm is not understood of Christ alone, it becomes a mirror and a goal toward which the blessed man must strive. Now, what is Luther trying to teach us? Simply put, if we fail to see that this psalm is actually about Christ and his work for us, then this psalm will become a curse to us. You see, if you think that you're the blessed man, then this psalm will become like a mirror that reveals your true nature. You are among the wicked. If you think that you are the blessed man, this psalm will be a goal that you will strive and strive to obtain, but will never make it because you are among the wicked. You see, we do not only sin against God by our vice and by our disobedience, we can also sin against God by our virtue and by our obedience. What I mean is this. If you strive to avoid sin and obey God's laws, but then you offer up to God your own righteousness as the reason that he ought to bless you, then you are most certainly wicked. You are then like the self-righteous Pharisee mentioned in the gospel reading two Sundays ago. He boasted about his righteous life before God. And then Jesus said that he remained guilty before God. Now, with that understood, I'd like you to listen to what the apostle says about every human being descended from Adam. That's you and me. In Romans chapter 3, Paul writes, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now that leads to a mystery. If that's true, then what about the last two verses of Psalm 1? You see, in the final section of Psalm 1, the righteous are spoken of in the plural. But how can there be a huge assembly of righteous people standing before God on the day of judgment if Scripture clearly teaches that no one is righteous? Well, I want you to listen to what the Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 2. You heard me read it a few moments ago. He writes, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. I'd also like you to hear these words written by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He writes, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. My friends, Psalm 1 is not ultimately about us and our performance. No way. Psalm 1 is first and foremost about Jesus and all that he's done for us. Psalm 1 is a psalm of the Savior. Think about it for a second. Jesus could have walked the easy road with the crowds who wanted to make him an earthly king and put a crown of gold on his head. But instead, Jesus walked the hard road to the cross with a crown of thorns on his head. Jesus could have stood among people and told them what they wanted to hear and then received praise from men. But instead, Jesus stood before the crowds, he stood before the Jewish court, he stood before Pontius Pilate, and he spoke the truth to them, and he suffered for them. Jesus could have sat down by a royal table while his earthly citizens served him. But instead, Jesus sat down the night before he was betrayed, and he served us by saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Take, drink. This is my blood shed for you." So Jesus is the tree that flourishes. Whatever he did and whatever he does prospers. His work took him to the cross, and one of the final things he said on the cross was, "It is finished." Whatever he does prospers. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead just as he promised. His leaves do not wither. He is risen, and he lives for all eternity as our Savior and Lord. Now, having said all that, I must add that this psalm also applies to you. You see, God really does want you to avoid the counsel of the wicked. God really does want you to delight in his word. He wants you to meditate on it day and night. He really does. But this psalm will be a blessing to you only if you see that it first points to Jesus Christ, the only righteous one. You see, through faith in him, your many sins are forgiven, and in him alone, you have a place among the righteous. Jesus is the only hope for sinners. You see, I'm afraid that we all must hang our heads in shame because we're all guilty of walking and standing and sitting in places where we should not be. But thanks be to God, you can come to the blessed man and you can say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And when you do this, the blessed man says to you, "I forgive you. You are my righteous child. So walk in my counsel, stand with me, sit at my feet and learn from me. Delight in my word, and you will be like a tree planted by streams of water. Whatever you do will prosper." That's right. As we keep our focus on the blessed man, our Lord and Savior, our lives will prosper. Now, I'm not talking about earthly health and wealth, although God may give us those things sometimes. Instead, I'm talking about a truly prosperous life. A life of peace because you know that your sins are forgiven. A life of hope because you know that through Jesus you will live forever with the God who made you and saved you and loves you. A truly prosperous life that is lived in humility and in loving service to others. That's right, the truly prosperous life is lived by those who rejoice in obeying God and loving others in his name because he first loved us and gave himself for us that we might be his own forever. So, as you keep your focus on the blessed man, he will comfort you with his mercy and he will give you the strength you need to live as one of God's righteous people in this world. Finally, when life gets hard, when you feel persecuted and alone because you will not walk in the counsel of the wicked nor stand in the way of of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. When you are facing death itself, and you feel like chaff that the wind blows away, then remember this promise: the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Because of the blessed man, you will stand before God in the assembly of the righteous. And on that day, Jesus will say to you, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the blessed man. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.